we do have a big gap to fill this year. And I'm confident that we can manage this, we can get it done, but there are going to be service reductions. There's no doubt about it. And I want to also tell you, I think we're at the point now where we have to start looking at, we've always had this principle of having proportional share. To the extent that you have a deficit in your department, you're going to make cuts. It's kind of a sort of not quite across the board, but it's in proportion to what you're adding to the gap. The problem is you don't want to get to a point where you do some of everything, but you do nothing well. And I think we're kind of getting into that point. So we're going to have to be much more careful this year about where we make cuts. Because if we'll make a cut to a program that isn't going to function well at all, you might as well collapse that program. And I don't know what those are yet, but in principle, we need to make sure that the things we can do well and have to do well, we continue to do well. I will tell you, we're going to look for revenue from every place we can. I think it's going to spark some additional reform efforts in the city. We're going to look at consolidations of some departments to save money. I think we're going to look at some of the functions that government performs. Can they be better performed by the private sector, and can we get a revenue stream from that? We're going to have to look at that this year. There's no choice any longer. So we may have had the luxury years ago of kind of like, well, we like doing stuff ourselves, and we still get a revenue stream. Now we have to look at maximizing revenue. Our police force is down to levels that we really don't want to go much lower, and we want to try to actually rebuild some of that. Firefighters are having an academy. We want to make sure that we have the strength out there to perform public safety functions. But, it was a sobering budget meeting last week where if you took all these cuts and didn't have proportional share and just funded public safety, you would not be able to fill potholes. You would not be able to remove graffiti. I think if I remember, 8 of 11 libraries would be closed down or some figure like that. And it's sobering to think about that. So you've got to be careful about what we do. And as I said, I'm confident we're going to be able to manage this. But there will be controversy here because we're going to have to look at new ways of doing things. We're going to have to break this paradigm that it all has to be done by us. And we have to look at, can you get revenue from some of the things that we're doing that would now preserve the kinds of critical services that you all need. Separating the budget for a bit, we've made dramatic progress on pollution reduction at the port. That's good for everybody here. The 2 years ahead of schedule from the plan, the Green Port Plan, and diesel particulate emissions are down by over 70%. And we're well ahead of schedule, and it's a dramatic decrease. And it's a decrease in almost every pollutant. And we're continuing to look at new ways of handling goods through the port with the Middle Harbor, for example, have a lot of automated equipment. The gantry cranes and the yard hustlers will be electrified. This is good news for the citizens of Long Beach, and it's actually good news for the port. I think they've done a great job of sort of marrying the economic engine we have with very clean engines on the diesel side. And I expect a lot more to be done there. Secondly, there's a lot of construction going on. There's $4.3 billion over the next 10 years. A new bridge, Middle Harbor, a couple of new piers. It's just a very good shot in the arm economically. And I think that'll be the way we're structuring this is to try to match our training programs at the Pacific Resource Center with jobs that are actually careers, not just jobs that are out of the port. So I think we can make some dent in Long Beach's unemployment figure by doing this and train a lot of our young people for jobs that are needed and jobs that can't be outsourced to other countries. And we've tried to do this as a deliberate program. Gary went through some of the public works things that are going on. Measure D is really helping. We can now fix a lot of things on our coastline. That'll be before the council, and I think it's going to be a dramatic improvement. So getting some of the antiquated facilities, some of the construction projects that have to be done, I think that's going to enhance everybody's lives and make us much more attractive as well. So we've got certainly a difficult 2 years. If right now it looks as if we've got to find $16 million, give or take, this year, $7 million next year, $2 million the year after, And if everything holds, and the state of California doesn't give us any additional surprises, you know, we should be at a structural balance. So we're going to try to do all we can on both the expense and revenue side. And let me just add, close with this. One of the wild cards here, and it is annoying to me beyond belief, that, you know, the governor has come out with a statewide pension reform, which I happen to support. It's very much like the Little Hoover Commission recommended. It's a fair way to structure things. And, you know, I don't know what reception that's going to get in the legislature, but we are the largest city in the public employees' retirement system, PERS. And I might add, by the way, none of us should target public employees. None of us should, you know, they do a lot of work. They do great work for all of us in this room and everybody in this city. This is not about attacking public employees. But the public employee benefits have really gotten beyond the affordability of almost anybody in the state. And it needs to be reformed. They have to be brought back in line with what is realistic. Governor put this forward. Yet yesterday, so we're the largest city in PERS. Yesterday, PERS, I think very wisely, lowered its target for its investment portfolio. They were at 7.75%. That's what they were expected to make year in, year out. I think in this new economy, that is optimistic. It's an understatement to say it's optimistic. I don't know what you're getting on your bank account, but 7%. It's a little apples and oranges, but to make 7.75% is very difficult. They lowered it to 7.5%. Now, what that means is that they're going to have to now ask for contributions from every one of its members, state of California, local government, including us, to be able to now keep the benefits at the level they're at now. And if anybody doesn't think pensions need to be reformed at the state level, you only need to look at, that's an additional bill for the state of California, if I remember right, in excess of $400 million. 25 basis points for that, $400 million. The pensions are now costing, I think around, if I remember this from memory, about $3.9 billion every year at the state level. My goal is to leave office with this city in better shape than I found it. I'm trying to do everything I can to do that. That's my obligation to you. And I'm using every bit of experience I have to try to make that happen. And I think we'll be able to do it. And there'll be critics and there'll be problems, but I think we'll be able to do it. I'm going to stop there and just throw it open to questions. I don't want to dominate the time. John.
Mayor, I have a question about this issue of the proportionate share cuts and whether we're going to proceed in that way or whether we're going to step back from the proportionate share. And obviously for libraries, that's a huge, huge issue. So can you give us any insights that you have about how that decision is going to be made?
I think it'll progress. It'll be made in the open. There is still, I think, a majority of the council that wants to keep the proportionate share. And you're right. For every 1%, for example, that you give the police department, let's just keep fire out of this room, but the police department, for every 1% you add to the police department, you've got to take 2% from everybody else. So, you know, you get to a point quickly, and look, you want to make sure we have an adequate force to keep people safe. But, you know, things have changed. I used to think when I took this job that it was all numbers. You know, just keep putting more bodies. It's not. I know more now. But there is a level at which you want to have a force that can be able to respond, not only respond, but do some of the proactive work to prevent crime. But if you could get to the point, I think if we just did, we're going to keep our numbers at a certain level in public safety, I think it was like by 2021 or 22, not that far away, you'd have all public safety. Nothing. No parks. No libraries, no public works, no streets, nothing. Well, that's not a city you want to live in, not a city I want to live in. And so immediately people say, well, besides looking for revenue internally, let's go get a tax increase. And I'll repeat what I said. I'll be happy to consider a tax increase and maybe even advocate as long as we've done all the reforms. And by all the reforms, I mean pension and the internal reforms, I'm looking really carefully at functions that we do right now that might be done better either in a reorganization or done better by the private sector. I am an advocate of proportional share, but you can't be silly about it. For example, let me give you a parks example. It may be that you cut the parks department down so to such a level that you would be better off changing the program from an active park system to a passive park system. Not advocating that, just saying that's one of the things you would look at, because you're doing the active park system so poorly that it wouldn't make sense. But you don't want to get to that level. So I think you'll see a lot of revenue ideas, hopefully, and you'll see, I think, if anything's done a proportionate share, it'll be out in the open, with, you know, you'll have a full opportunity to discuss it. I don't think anybody wants to go there if you don't have to. Yeah, Melinda?
Just a comment that I, for one, would be glad to pay more taxes to keep our libraries, to keep our parks, to keep the police force. And I understand, you know, the problem with the pension issue, but a lot of those are the more poorly paid people in the city, so I hope, you know, I hope those can be worked out.
I think we have Partners of Parks, and I know they're always looking for contributions, so hopefully you'll contribute. That money goes directly into the park system.
I know that there are a lot of people in this city, and probably a lot of people in this room would be willing to pay more taxes. But the truth is, before you go out and ask people to do that, you really have to make sure you've done all the things internally you can. I think that's our obligation. And look, I said I would be willing to consider and maybe even support, as long as I know that we've done as much as we can. And until you get to that point, you know, you could be masking a very inefficient program in your city and just asking for more tax dollars. It happens all the time. And I'm not saying nobody should pray to the God of efficiency every morning, but you do want to have an efficient system so you can make, I can look a voter in the eye and say, we need this.
It looks like you're there, though.
Not quite yet.
Not quite.